cue the music. I'm sure our editor will. But summer's in the summertime. Summertime. All right. Thank you for sitting back and unwinding with us. We are happy, excited, elated to start talking about what our summers are going to look like and give our audience and our listeners some suggestions about how we can maybe find a balance between rest, resistance, and radical imagination. I definitely want to acknowledge the duality in what I just said. I'm going to start off in my favorite place, in my safe space, and talk about some of the books that I plan on curling up with. Specifically, I'm curling up with them. I think we've talked a lot about preparing in our last episode, and we will talk a little bit about preparation in this episode as well. But because of prep, I am going to sit down and read Our History Has Always Been Contraband. This one is edited by a whole bunch of folks, Colin Kaepernick being amongst them. And I am excited to sit down and learn from history. Additionally, I want to earmark for everyone a very accessible book. If you are not into reading, that is okay. We love you anyway. But On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder, who is one of the professors from Yale who has fled to Canada. His On Tyranny book is 129 pages. And it is a mini book, 129 pages. So it might take you an hour or two total to read if you're a slow reader like me. 10 minutes if you're Ginny. We will forgive her. It's fine. I think that both of those reads are accessible, not too long, and will really give us some practical ways to move throughout the summer. What do y'all got? Are you got something new? Are you revisiting texts? I know, Ginny, you've talked about your audiobooks and revisiting books you've already read.
Well, like? Number one on my list is On Tyranny, because you made these incredible posts about it on social media, and I was like, repost. Let me get over here to my Goodreads. Okay, that's number one. So that is on mine. There's also a book by Samra Habib called We Have Always Been Here that talks about the queer Muslim experience. And so I'll be reading that one. And I'm starting one. It's epic. It's massive. But it's called The Art of Prophecy. And it is a fantasy book rooted in Chinese history. And, you know, I truly believe in exposing myself to as much of the mythos and origins and stories of cultures as I can. This one is bigger than the love songs of W.E.B. Du Bois, so it's a big one. But I do, to your point, Melina, one of the things I have found for myself, those are my like resistance books for the summer, but I have found myself listening to audiobooks of books I have already read, some of my favorite books, and it has just felt like this warm hug. Like, I know what's gonna happen. I've read these books. And it started with, I would rewatch the series if they had been made into a series. And then one day I'm in my car and I'm like, let me just see what the audiobook sounds like. And it's just been such a beautiful place to feel like I'm in this immersive storytelling world and all of these lives. And also just to be comforted by something that is core to my being, and that is reading and literature. So that's what's going on with my book list.
I love that. I think to add nuance. I would talk about a skill set. If I particularly think about my children, and maybe one of the things I've been pretty adept at is the commitment of texts, or at least portions, to memory. One of my favorite icks, isn't that oxymoronic? One of the things I hate is when speakers stand to speak with passion and they have to look down at their notes. Is it in the notes, or is it in your heart? Is it in your phone, or is it in your heart? And one of the things I see in an age of AI, but before that, in the digital age, very few people own with passion their thoughts and their remembrances, and they don't have to. They can, so they can, because they can look down at it. So with my children this summer, and a good refresher for me, I want to offer them a journey back through the artists and authors and poets through the Harlem Renaissance, and identify 3 to 5 portions of a poem, quotes, or a text that they can commit to memory. I think about how much we talk about, and by the way, this would unseat everybody, black, white, purple, green, but for enthusiasts of the black national anthem, lift every voice and sing. If you put anybody on the spot and you ask them to sing the second stanza, it would lead to a lot of lip syncing. Don't be passionate about something you don't know. I think about Langston Hughes, I Too Sing America. I think about the portions of Sojourner Truth's and Aren't I a Woman. The things that, at least in part, I know by rote memory, I want to help my kids commit that to memory. I think a recommendation for our audience is to be as committed to internalizing the information that you puppet and market, because if it's so important, then you would know it.
I love that. And because I'm my kid's librarian, I am going to also put an earmark on Ibram Kendi is on May 13th is releasing an official biography of Malcolm X for kids. And it's called Malcolm Lives. And I can't wait to get it for Xavier and read it with him. And I've heard Kendi talk about this book and how excited he is. And you know, his middle name is Ibram X. Kendi for Malcolm X. And so he has a passion, to your point, Lawrence, regarding the subject matter. Obviously, he wrote a book about it as well. But for any of our listeners with kids, that book is coming out soon. And so definitely pre-order if you can, support your local bookstores and libraries. Ginny Rae Sparkman, who refuses to support her
That was
local library.
hilarious. Listen, I
Here she
support
goes. Here she goes.
the
Here she goes.
library, but I need to write in the books. Like, there's always a pen in my hand. I gotta
I
write in
know.
the books.
I
You,
know.
but I will throw a plug out there because what I have started doing with my local library is there is an app called Libby, Libby. And as long as you have a library card, you can get any audiobook for free.
Love
So.
that. Love that. Thank you. In terms of another form of learning, I want to talk about any professional development that people should be doing this summer. It doesn't have to be education based. It can be leadership based. It can be affinity based. Anything that may be locally happening. I'm interested to hear any, like specifically, I'm thinking about in person because hopefully it'll be nice outside wherever you find yourself. And I think it's going to be a very important time to focus on being in community, in person with people, not, in this, and I'm not disparaging them, but in the Zoom Land book club, but in person, in community with folks, looking them in their mouths. Any ideas, any places that we can maybe point folks to even begin to research liberatory professional development?
Well, I'm going to jump right in here because I think some of the best professional development we can do is become proximate to things. And so the first place I would point people is show up for Pride.
I
Show up
love
for
that.
Pride. Find out where Pride
So the
events are happening.
heteros can go?
Oh, we love straight people.
Okay.
Y'all, you need more glitter in your life. I'm sorry.
Yes, we do.
But that's the thing about Pride is that it is a celebration of having been silenced and having been erased. And as someone who is closer to 50 than I want to admit, who didn't come out till I was 30, I don't always feel proud. And so having those spaces where people get to live out loud, regardless of your sexual attraction or your gender identity, to go there and just be in the presence of that alone is personal development. And in a time right now when those communities are being so targeted, my communities are being so targeted, showing up for Pride this year as a straight person, as a cisgender person, is so incredibly important because it's not our problem. We're not out here trying to erase ourselves, even though we do have had some of the highest suicide attempts per youth per capita in the nation. So that's the number one thing I would say is show up places, go to Pride.
A little nuance for our listeners, Ginny. When people are showing up to something like a Pride and don't identify or aren't part of the community, tell me, tell our audience, share with them maybe some pointers about how to navigate that space in a culturally competent way where you respect the history of Pride, as well as the people in attendance.
I'm going to start with a couple don'ts. If you are a straight man, do not tell a lesbian that you're a lesbian too. If you're a straight man, do not tell a gay woman that she just hasn't been with the right man. You're not cute. You're not funny. You're not connecting to us. You're degrading. I think the other thing to do is check yourself before going about how much you associate with the LGBT community as being a sexualized identity. This is a huge piece of this, right? Like, we make all of these grand statements in public and political spaces about people within the queer community, and it is almost always related to sexual beings, right? Sexual acts specifically. And this is something in working with young people that I've actually seen be so tremendously detrimental to the development of LGBTQ youth, because anything that happens around them, they assume is because of their sexual attraction, because that's what the world has told them. So realize that when you're going to Pride, this is not a place where everyone's trying to hook up. This is not about sex. Like, who has sex with who is not what Pride is about, and it never has been. And remember that Pride was an act of resistance. It started as a riot. And so, if you want to go there just to feel good and you're not a member of the queer community, don't go. Like, you should show up expecting to be not an ally, but an active advocate, right? Maybe instead of just walking about, You volunteer for an organization to table at that organization so that the members of their queer community with that organization can go enjoy it. If you have children and you're straight, please bring them to Pride and don't turn their heads. Let them see everything and know that, you know, whether we're going back to the lilac scare or the 90s HIV AIDS crisis, people in the LGBTQ community are not perverts. They might wear a little less clothing in the parade, but it's because their whole lives they've been told what to do and what's acceptable. And they have been taboo. And today they don't have to be. And so help young people understand that this is just a different way of being. And listen, if someone at an event, whether it's a parade or a community celebration, asks something of you, be responsive, be respectful, do not physically touch people. Stop at every booth and find out what these organizations are. Because, like I said, these are the straight cisgender folks are some of the most important people in this movement right now. And so we need you alongside us for that. So I hope that's helpful. Also, ask people's pronouns. It's so small. It's so small. And start with yours. So if you're like, oh, it's nice to meet you. My name's Jenny Ray, she, her pronouns. Then other people can tell you theirs and you don't make mistakes.
Thank you. That was beautiful, Jenny. Thank you. I think that is helpful to a lot of folks.
Jenny, I love that. And I think as a straight cis chin check about gatherings that are actually are sexualized, that lead to all kinds of extremism, there's probably some real hypocrites listening who need to tap in with their families and ask them if their parents were in Atlanta for Freaknik or have gone to Mardi Gras or have been to Coachella or were at Woodstock or who have been at Carnival. Because way before Mr. Combs, those were freak-offs. And so just a straight chin check. If you think Pride is where it goes down and you don't know about Freaknik or an Uncle Luke party, I'm not saying I've been, I'm just saying I have Google. The point is, I was thinking about your question, Malene, and I really, in an interesting shift from like our last episode, I'm off of the book piece and I'm really into the practical areas. If I offered someone a practical challenge, particularly folks from marginalized communities this summer, list from a practical skill set everything that you're dependent upon someone else for and reduce your dependencies by at least one. If you can't swim, let this be the summer you learn. If you can't change a tire, let this be the summer you learn. If you can't cook a meal for yourself, if there's a community sourced, if there's a CSA where you can learn to plant vegetables, grow fruit, think about the things that you can't do for yourself that you'd be dependent upon someone else for. That if, let's just say, we went into another pandemic, measles, anyone,
Bird flu.
what could you reduce your dependency on an unsafe person from? If you come out of the summer more competent than you went into it, that's a win.
And it's still professional slash leadership development because if you learn how to swim, therefore you can teach someone else to swim. I love that, Lawrence. I'm gonna say, attend your neighborhood block parties. Get to know your neighbors. for the love of God, get to know your neighbors. And continue to show up at your town halls and have hard conversations with the people who represent you, in the last days of this democracy. Light a fire under them in person, in like, and there you will meet more neighbors. Look at that. And I want to also put a little pin in what I want folks to avoid this summer. No DEI light, right? We aren't going to stuff that just makes us feel good. No, thank you. We also aren't doing white women feminism, are we, Jenny? Okay. We aren't going to do, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time with this. We aren't doing both side ism development. I learned that we can't always, we shouldn't aim to be objective. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I think we should aim to hope that what we do when we use our voice is defend and uphold democracy, liberate ourselves and others. If the voice that you are hearing or using is not in service of those things, then it's not actually helpful. I think this concept of objectivity or both sidesism or understanding the other side has in part gotten us in the mess that we are in now. Because neutrality is a position. It is exceedingly dangerous to give credence to people who should not be given like the time of day. Like we should not, the news, the media, for example, should not have legitimized Donald Trump. But we did. And therefore now it's nor he is normalized. So I want to, you know, I'm starting to get like folks email me, this is what our school's reading for the summer. And it's a lot of both sides stuff. That's not helpful. Oh, look at this. What is this?
This is against white feminism. And if you're looking for a book, you're looking for a PD book, especially as a middle class white woman, upper class white woman, but for everybody. But
Thank you. What are y'all doing for fun this summer? I want to hear about any festivals you're going to, carnivals, Lawrence, and movies you plan on seeing, protests you plan on going to.
Yeah,
What are you doing culturally?
no pas de protest. But y'all send me the Zoom link, I'll watch it. Actually, in the month of June, I have two family reunions with my first cousins, and one is in New Orleans, and the other is in San Diego. And you take that joy to another level. I wonder in this generation, I'm 44. How are folks even doing family reunions anymore? But when you talk about an opportunity, particularly with a focus on the civil rights movement, having parents, grandparents whose birthdays and lives mark the epicenter of those times, I didn't realize just how nourishing a really good family reunion is. So small, tall, in person, or Zoom, man, if you can reconnect with your people and tap into your real ancestry with folks who are still alive, I've got that this summer. I really am looking forward to, for my little ones, it will be deepening their ability to swim, for Maddie and AJ. Layton and EJ, thankfully, during the pandemic, learned to swim in the ocean. Before Shark Week though. Just to get those practical skills up. And then the one thing that is on the concert side in Philadelphia, there is the Roots Picnic. It's looked at kind of like a family reunion, and it ends up being like the Roots and Erykah Badu and Andre 3000, but without the flute this time. And it's just a real opportunity for me to connect to culture and family, and it makes me feel good. I think the expectation of marginalized folks is that what we do should make other people feel good. And I'm really excited this summer to really serve myself by insisting on joy.
I love that. Okay, so if you need San Diego recommendations, hit me up. Because I used to live there. Yes, I listen. The me don't sleep on the Mexican food now.
I'm working on losing weight
Too
gain
bad.
to no to gain weight when I go to San
Okay.
Diego.
Amazing. So I am actually going to patronize my libraries and museums before they close. Executive Order 14238 is trying to defund our museums and libraries. So I'm going to do that. That always brings me a sense of joy. And Jazz in the Garden restarts soon, and it's all outside, it's live jazz. There are these concerts throughout the summer. They're always free. They happen at the National Gallery of Art, and they're famous for their pictures of sangria. So I'm looking forward to just throwing out my little picnic blanket and just hanging out and doing some of that. I am going to go see Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico in this summer. I'm bringing my baby with me. And it is going to be he has seen Mariah Carey for her little Christmas special. This will be so different for he's gonna be like, why are all these people screaming for 3 hours? But we're gonna go see Bad Bunny, which I am very, very excited to be back on the island of Puerto Rico and celebrate that. Also gonna see some family. Hopefully I'll see some friends. I hope to be outside, like in community. One of my friends is moving or will be back from South Africa for the summer. So I'm excited to spend time with her and have some fun. So that's what I'm up to this summer for FUN. What about you, Ginny?
First off, as always, it is WNBA season. And I got my player society jersey ready to go. We're gonna hit up a couple of WNBA games. They sold out the Boston Garden for the Connecticut Sun Indiana Fever game within minutes. So we're gonna go see that. We're gonna go see the Aces, Asia Wilson, A1's drop, May 5th. If you're looking for shoes, when they play against Connecticut locally, there's so much to be said about this meteoric rise of women's sports right now, whether we're talking about rugby and Ilona Mayer, the PWHL, the first women's professional hockey league, the WNBA unrivaled NWSL, alongside all of the loss of rights for women in the queer community. That is fascinating to me. And so I'm really digging into supporting those athletes and communities, both because it is one of my great passions and because I want to keep that rise happening, because that comes with money and power, that those are some of the few communities that invest back in a really intentional way. So excited for that, as always. And seeing Beyonce in Chicago, cannot wait. I'm trying to get my wife to wear the full Canadian tuxedo, so we'll see what happens. And also, we just got tickets to see Leon Bridges, which, from the perspective of like music being deeply personal and important to me, I think his work is really special. So we're really excited about that. So I got sports, I got music, and I think probably for me, one of the most important ways to reconnect with myself is to reconnect with the earth. And so, once these allergy season stops, that will help because, I was out trying to take care of a forest last weekend and I'm still paying for it. But just having my hands in the dirt, growing my own vegetables, tending to the native plants in the area, knowing what needs to be cut so things can survive. There's something about being outside and in nature that is so important to me to fill my cup. And we have the great fortune of living in a place where there's not a lot of the cultural offerings that you mentioned, Melina, but it is where people go to vacation. And so, we will be on the lake a lot this summer. One of the most beautiful lakes I've ever seen in my life. And like
You gonna be on
the
your boat?
we're gonna be on the boat.
Oh, get your towels ready, it's about to go down. Everybody in the place hit the opening deck, but stay on your mother toes. We running this, let's go. I'm on a boat.
Like she's omitting the boat, Lawrence.
The boat with the grill, with the
Excuse me. Wait, you know what it was? I was looking for my invite. Yeah, no, I thought maybe I. Yeah, no.
No, I don't have it either. I
Yes. Yeah,
didn't
no, Jenny, I was totally with you. I was like, no, maybe I have an Android. So I was like, oh,
Maybe
maybe
you just didn't get
in the
it.
last
Like,
iOS update. You know what? The one footnote I wanted to make of all this so people didn't miss it. It's not like the three of us are going on a luxury trip to space with Katy Perry and Gayle King.
thinking,
When
what is
you are a person from a historically marginalized background and your identity is politicized, your joy is even politicized. I can't tell you how many times I'm out minding my black-owned business, out with my babies, out at the gym, going to see sinners. Yo, big dog, what you think about this thing about racism? I never approach white people. I promise you I don't. And they're like, yo, dog, about lynching though? Now, if you got a couple of seconds, I would like to talk to you about 40 acres and a mule. We don't do that. I don't do that to you. And so, right, never having been a queer person, never having been a woman, I can't imagine the unsolicited and untoward conversations hurled your way. But don't think this is some Mars mission for us. Even joy is interrupted by opportunities for education and activism.
yes, I completely agree. And I want to piggyback on that and ask all of you, like when you return to the South, and how are you in solidarity with the local people there? How are you supporting Black-owned businesses, whether that be lodging, restaurants, art, music, liquor, and same to you, Jenny. When you travel, are you intentional about where you spend your money? So I want to
Yeah,
talk.
I mean, I'll take nuances. So clearly the answer is like yes, always
Right.
so. Always support, always support, always support. And I am now interested in the entire supply chain. So if the front of the house is black, it says black owned, I want to know if blacks really own it. And I want to know that the supply chain goes all the way back to you all insisting on only black folks. But you know, it's something about growing up in the hood with a pizza place that was Chinese owned that makes me kick the tires a little suspiciously when folks are insisting that something is a black owned business. If it's entirely black owned from the front of the house to the beginning of the PO, absolutely. But there's a lot of folks playing in our faces and very few folks actually supporting the people who need it. So my recommendation is to kick the tires all the way when supporting black-owned businesses.
Love that.
And I would say don't just do the easy things. So it's really like if you look at my list, right? Like I'm going to see black artists. I'm going to see professional sports athletes that are primarily black and queer. And I absolutely we look up restaurants every time we go. But it's the bookstores. It's do you have to go to CVS? Do you have to go to the grocery stores? Right? There's so many other, particularly right now in the economy that we're in, with the regulations that we're seeing changing left and right and the implications of that for small businesses. I think it goes beyond just where you eat and the people. You know, Austin, Texas. I don't know if they still have this, but I went for a conference a couple of years ago and they don't allow rideshare apps. It's locally owned rideshares, and one of them, you choose your charity. So every time you use it, they round up and donate to the organization of your choice. I wish it was like that everywhere. It's not, but even spending the time to look at something like that, I think it's important using public transportation right now. Very important. You know, get on the subway instead of getting the Uber if you feel safe enough to do so.
Love that. I think I'm going to chime in and ask people to be thoughtful about their lodging. We don't always have to stay at the Four Seasons, that is in the really rich part of town. I encourage you, if you're going someplace new, to live amongst the people, stay amongst the people. And if you're going to a place like Puerto Rico, for example, and you decide that you're going to stay in an Airbnb, make sure it's a locally owned Airbnb, not a gringo owned Airbnb. You know, we got a lot of Jake Pauls on the island who are there for 6 months out of the year to capitalize on the tax cuts, and they're very extractive in that way. The point is not to travel and displace folks. So I would just, even though to Jenny's point, it might be more difficult to find one, but that is why we all have the Google. And there are places like joinajoin.com where you can get locally owned Airbnbs. Well, they're not called Airbnbs, but houses and apartments to stay in on the island. So I would encourage folks to do that. And you know, when you go to Puerto Rico, don't eat at the pizza place. For the love of God. Like, don't go to Puerto Rico to eat McDonald's. Like, get it together. And don't holler at the people who live and work there if they speak English. Learn how to ask in Spanish, do you speak English?
Maybe just don't holler.
Oh my God. Americans are so loud, though. everywhere I go, especially when it, like when I've been to Europe, I'm like, oh my God, I can hear the Americans coming because we're the ones screaming and yelling with North Face jackets on. So I would just encourage folks to think locally and on that scale. Yeah, that's all I got for today, folks. Anything else? Any other plugs? Anywhere we want to point people before we wrap up today?
Comedy. That's my last thing. And I know Lawrence is with me on this. I've had the incredible opportunity recently to see Josh Johnson, to see Leslie Jones. We're going to see Michelle Buteau. And all these folks are on Netflix. Like, I know we should all be outside, but if you're inside, listen to some of these comics because they're speaking truth right now, like they always have.
But whatever it means in your own life, get healthier this summer. I think about what happens in the body of stress and anxiety and anger. And what COVID revealed to us is that a lot of us have just only need a thumb on the scale of health for things to fall through. At my age, I've had high school classmates, people I was at elementary school with, die from kind of stuff that they were, I thought, too young to die from: congestive heart failure, high blood pressure, diabetes. Take care of yourself this summer. Whatever that goal is, just become more able so that when stress, anxiety, the things start to happen, you can withstand them. Less of us, particularly Americans, are as healthy as we can be. Whatever your standard is, take the summer and get better.
We're getting a basketball hoop so we can just get outside and shoot.
Oh, I love that.
Like, it's so small and so, I'm not buying into the pickleball yet, but
Me
we'll get a
either.
hoop.
I'm not there. I swear to God, I'm not there. Yes, I would say, I would like folks to get the group chat together in person this summer. We have so many group chats. And it's one thing to text people all day, every day, and it's another thing to put your arms around them. I think we have become too reliant upon, and I say this with, some irony, Zoom. And there's nothing like getting together with people in person. And I think at our age, people begin to either their parents get sick and die, and they realize their own mortality, and or we become afflicted with comorbidities at this age. I'm specifically talking about my community. So I would really suggest that folks get together just because. I'm going to call out my Klingenstein LA21 people who have been in a group chat since June of 2019. And we haven't had a reunion on a mass scale unless we're at a conference. So I'm calling us in and out at the same time. Yeah.
And
And
now that
tell people you love them, make it weird. Make it really weird.
Ooh, there's an
like
opportunity. Jenny, I love you. Melina, I love you. I love all of y'all.
yes
How about that?
yes exactly. Ginny, I love you. Lawrence, I love you.
Make it weird.
Yes, Ginny makes it weird.
I accidentally told the chiropractor that I loved them.
Look at the blush on Jenny. Oh, and while we're at it, listen, Jenny is otherwise very northern. The southern really doesn't come out in Jenny's profession of love for the WNBA. I have now discovered the one letter of the alphabet where Jenny's southern accent comes out. It's the
W.
W. It's the W.
W.
Hey, I watch the WNBA, but she watches the W
Yes, correct.
Well, now that Melina has us all in tears and we finished with laughter and joy, I feel like we got to give that shout out to Stacia saying, I think we just all got called in too. So maybe there's a rooftop in New York City that's looking for this crew to get back
I
together
love it.
soon.
I love that. Would love it. Would love, 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 love it. Just a train ride away for all of us except Seisha. All right, y'all. I love you.
All
Thank
right.
you. Until next time, folks.
Bye, y'all.
Yeah.
Bye.